Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good evening. The show begins tonight in Ukraine, negotiating the battlefield with Colonel Jeff McCausland. The battlefield will be on the table wherever the discussions begin, in Europe, in the Middle East, in the Far East, between the two working groups to be named by Secretary of State Rubio and Foreign Minister Lavrov. The discussion at hand will be ending the war, but there are other matters we learned from the Riyadh meeting, such as denuking, such as bringing Russia back into the community of nations, lifting sanctions, lots of issues. They want this done with dispatch, say both sides. We shall see. Also, Jeff and I discuss NATO. What about NATO after the war? What status? Where's the army? Who will run it? There is a suggestion that the UK and France will field an army, backed up with air power from the U.S. and others, and that will guarantee safety in what's left of Ukraine after the partition. The presumption is there will be a partition. Spoke to France, Simon Constable. The daffodils are in full bloom. The south of France is well ahead of us here in New England, well ahead of Moscow. I talked to Moscow yesterday. Frigid. Frigid here. We get Siberian air. Frigid in the north, but the south of France, paradise. It's even snowing in Milan. South of France is special. And then Simon supervises the hardest quiz I've ever taken about movies. I know science fiction movies. I didn't know anything in the 21st century. Not very science fiction-y. The hardcore stuff is 2001 and Blade Runner. You understand. Made in the 20th century. 21st, well, we'll see. It's early yet. On to the New World Report with Evan Ellis. We begin with Mexico, where there's complaints about drones, Reaper drones, tracking cartels in northern Mexico. Reapers carry weapons. In this case, they're said to have been for surveillance. Somebody on the ground can't tell. Make them a little paranoid to have a Reaper following you around, claiming it's surveillance. Panama is deporting people who are returned to Panama, boasting about it. Is this one of the arrangements that was discussed from President Molina and Secretary of State Rubio, who made his first overseas visit starting in Panama City? Unknown. Brazil condemns Bolsonaro as a man who plotted the assassination of the elected president and the destruction of the government. It's quite fantastic. It's a Hollywood thriller. Lawfare also. Good lawfare if it's true. They've got to prove it in court. And then Javier Milei of Argentina made a very bad mistake. He endorsed a crypto coin on Friday night that went to some astronomical number on Saturday and then a zero on Monday. A scam. And he explains it by saying he made a mistake. Of course, that's not good enough given all the special interests he's taken on in his brief time as president. Reckless of him not to have used his advisors. If it looks too good to be true, it is. Old recommendation. The Balkans, student protests going on for weeks in Serbia since early February in Bosnia, and about the same time in Montenegro. Why? Because the governments are not transparent, they're not accountable, they're clumsy, they make mistakes, they don't apologize, they blame individuals, they don't take collective responsibility for collapsed buildings, shootings in public, or other depredations. This is the Balkans that wants to be a member of the EU, but has to transfer its government from the Soviet model, which is you don't ask questions and we don't give answers, to a model that is consistent with democracy. In other words, you get in trouble every time there's an election. Student protests in the Balkans and In Romania, great anxiety about NATO abandoning the Black Sea Basin, or NATO so weak the Russians can come and take back Moldova and Odessa Oblast from Ukraine, right next door to Romania. Romania having been a former Soviet state as well. Bad memories. And then Xi Jinping in Beijing, romancing well-to-do people like Jack Ma, romancing tech entrepreneurs, unnamed, shaking hands, grinning. Why? Because he and his government drove out technology, demanded the data sets of everyone operating in China. They left. Google left first, everybody piled on and got out. And foreign capital's not going in, doesn't trust Xi. Maybe a few do, and he'll make a show of them making profits, but China is not a business environment that is trusted by investors, and that's what matters. Accountable to investors. Political warfare is being practiced all the time in Taiwan by Gordon Chang joined me. We brought on Kerry Gershenek. He's written a book about political warfare, and he's in Taiwan, and he explains how it works. You undermine the credibility of the elected government. You weaken the ability of people to make a choice, and then they don't have a choice. Simple. Don't need to shoot a pistol anywhere. Take it over by getting elected, which is pretty much the game plan now for Ukraine, to replace Zelensky with somebody who's obliging to Moscow. What does Moscow want? It wants Ukraine to be obedient, as it used to be, without NATO's footsteps. Conversation with Michael Bernstam about the new sanctions directed by the EU, including aluminum, and strict sanctions on, I think it's 63 shadow fleets. Yeah, 63 shadow members of the shadow fleet and 13 banks, not just Russia, banks across Central Asia, being sanctioned for helping Russia defeat the sanctions. And then a conversation with Rebecca Kofler, former DIA investigator, about how Putin regards Ukraine, not as a sovereign state, as a buffer zone, as something to slow down the invader while Moscow prepares. In other words, not as a separate power, as a tool. Bob Zimmerman finally reports on Blue Origin, suddenly activity at Blue Origin suggesting there is a rocket company there after 5 years of Rip Van Winkle sleep. And then the March 2 landing designed for Blue Ghost, a private commercial lander that will win contracts if it successfully sets down on the surface of the moon after a six-week journey the slow way, so it doesn't have to carry a lot of fuel. Exciting. March 2nd is the first date. There's another one incoming from the Japanese. Bob will apprise both. That's the whole of it. There are other things I might have left out, but I hope you enjoy the show, and I remind myself to remind you that the Substack.JohnBachelor, it's johnbachelor.substack.com, has a new book interview up, Sebastian Smee, Paris in Ruins, about the coterminous event of the rise of the Impressionists in revolt against the Salon in Paris. Manet, Monet, Pissarro, Sisley, you know them very well. Cezanne. As the Prussians defeat the French under Napoleon III, lay siege to Paris with bombardment, big guns, and then following the withdrawal of the Prussians, Paris descends into total chaos, anarchy, and mass murder in what was called the Commune of 1871. These are coterminous events. The painters were there. All around them was destruction and burning and wreckage of the most beautiful city in the world at the time. Paris in Ruins, Sebastian Smee on Substack. All my author interviews are on Substack, and I recommend. It's fun to see a conversation with a book writer. They work very hard. They give up a lot of time and their lives and risks to write a book, and they deserve credit. And I try to give it to them. Sebastian is an art critic, Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Washington Post, and I learn a great deal from his book that I did not know about the Impressionists, such as how did they get the name Impression? It was not men as flattery. It's the stories in the book. Thanks for listening. Good night.